Welcome back to the Valley Collision Studio and the Bill Riley Show on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
76th minute in Qatar, Portugal 1, Uruguay nothing. Final game of the day at the World Cup. We'll keep you updated on that. Tomorrow, the United States and Iran will be going for the right to advance out of group play. So keep you updated on that one tomorrow here on the Bill Riley Show. Gordy will be in studio for an hour. We'll have Brant Keithy tomorrow as well and get you ready for the Pac-12 championship game coming up on Friday. By the way, if you would like to go to that Pac-12 championship game, do me a favor right now. Text the keyword pick, as in like pick six. Text keyword pick to 33986. That's 33986. Keywords every day on my show and on Spence's show. We'll give a pair of tickets away on my show and on Spence's show today, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And that game is nearly sold out in Las Vegas. Ticketmaster's the only place you can get tickets right now, and there aren't very many of those left. So text keyword pick right now to 33986 for a pair of tickets to the Pac-12 championship game Friday night between the Utes and the USC Trojans. For the latest on the Trojans, a former Trojan quarterback and a member of their pre- and post-game show, Max Brown, joining us right now. How are you, Max? Hey, Max.
You got me?
Hey, Bill. I got you. How are you?
Perfect. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you back again.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Excited about Friday night's game. If it's anything like the one in October, it will be a classic. That was an instant classic here. I'll start off by asking you the first thing away. What's different for you the second time around versus the first time around in Salt Lake City for either team or both teams?
Yeah, I think on the USC end, it's a team that's much more confident. It felt like the game back in October in Salt Lake, from a USC perspective, the team was kind of building to that moment, and you weren't sure how real things were. You knew the offense was really good, but where are things at defensively, and how healthy is USC going to be at this point? And a lot of those things, you felt like you were still finding your way in terms of the true identity of what that team is. And now you found it. It's an offense that's, it's been well documented how explosive they've been, but defensively, it's a group that continues to find turnovers, and the turnover margin that USC has, I believe now they, after last week, it's still about like plus 20, which is clearly number one in the country. That number is ridiculous for football fans that don't necessarily follow that stat. The second place unit, I believe, is at like 13 or 14 or something. So that's been the identity of the defense. Caleb Williams has been great all season, as most folks have followed, and then a difference in terms of where Utah is compared to USC. USC is pretty healthy, and they've been able to get healthy the past few weeks with Eric Gentry, their middle linebacker, coming back, healthy at offensive line as well. So a lot of the same, but some differences there from a confidence perspective as well.
Since you didn't lend any perspective on the Utah side, I will tell you, I think Utah's defense is playing markedly better now versus where they were, and it kind of began in the second half of that USC game, too. And Utah's getting healthy. I mean, Dalton Kincaid's going to play. There's no way he doesn't play. Clark Phillips will play. The only guy out for the year right now is Van Fillinger, who played last time around. But Travis Dye's not playing right now. And I don't know, from your perspective, how big a deal is it not having Travis Dye?
Yeah, I really don't think it's a huge deal. And I always feel bad saying that because it sounds like, oh, the impact of Travis Dye wasn't large. But Austin Jones, the Stanford transfer that Pac-12 fans know well, he stepped in there and he had a great game last week. I mean, rushing for over 150, and that was a surprise because that was a game similar to maybe how you're viewing the Utah game of, hey, if Notre Dame last week can win the trenches and not allow USC to run the rock, that's a recipe for success. And to my surprise, the USC offensive line took it to Notre Dame and was able to run the ball. And a big reason why was Austin Jones. I do think they missed Travis Dye from a depth perspective, but it's been this unique transition where so much of Travis Dye was his leadership, and Lincoln Riley shares a bunch about, you know, the culture that a guy like Travis Dye has set at SC. And with him being out, it's the whole moxie of the offense has been like a play for Travis. And in a weird way, it's sparked kind of a new juice because Travis is out, which is obviously awful. But I think big picture, they're going to be fine with Austin Jones. Keep an eye on Relik Brown, the hotshot true freshman for USC. It feels like his role continues to increase every single week, especially the past couple of weeks. And no Travis Dye. He got in for a touchdown last week, and they like targeting him in the pass game as well. So keep an eye on number 14. But big picture, I think USC is going to be just fine in the running game department.
How big a believer are you in championship DNA or experience? This is really, if you don't count the COVID year, which Kyle Whittingham doesn't, some may, this is four straight championship games for Utah. The upperclassmen here have played in either three or four championship games each. Is that a big deal to you?
I think it is. I really do. I don't think it's just fluff. I don't think it's just coach speak. And a big reason why is, I think, you know, how does your team get up for these big games? But then, you know, when you're coming off like from USC's perspective, you know, they don't have the championship DNA. They haven't been here consistently. Lincoln has. Caleb has to a smaller degree. I mean, I guess he played in the Big 12 championship, but that's an advantage that Utah has. And so far, USC has shown that, hey, you can respond after having a UCLA emotional win, and you get up for Notre Dame. But now the mold this week is, it feels like everyone's kind of writing it in that Caleb has the Heisman and USC is going to win. I don't necessarily know how it is in Salt Lake, but that's the national kind of buzz that I'm getting. And that, to me, plays right into Utah's favor. And can USC, you know, step up and show up and not just cakewalk through this game? And with that, I think that's a huge advantage for Utah. I assume that they like that position. They like being the underdogs there. They like the, hey, USC might already be looking ahead to whoever their next opponent is. I'm not necessarily saying that's the DNA of USC, because I do think Lincoln Riley's done a great job, but I think that mold of Utah, having been here, having guys that embrace that maybe, you know, blue-collar mentality, and having been in Vegas and in that locker room, I think goes a long way for the youth.
It's funny you mentioned that, Max, because that's exactly what Kyle Whittingham said this morning at his press conference. He's like, yeah, everybody's got, you know, he goes, Caleb Williams, Heisman Trophy, everybody's picked USC to go to the Rose Bowl. We love playing the underdog. Utah loves playing that, even when they haven't been an underdog. You know, they've always been the little engine that could since they joined the Pac-12, even when that wasn't accurate. But now they get, even though they, you know, they're defending Pac-12 champions, they get to play that role of the underdog this week, and I think that suits them just fine.
And I'm sure, to Kyle's credit, he's probably playing that up, right? Even if, you know, you could flip the script, and I'm sure, you know, Lincoln's saying, hey, these are the defending conference champs. They were in the Rose Bowl. They beat us. They should be, like, we should be the underdogs, right? Like a little coach mind game situation here. And I'm sure both head coaches are playing that up. And, it is interesting how things have changed in kind of 2 months, where big picture Utah is the underdog. But wait a sec. I mean, Utah beat USC. So I'm sure that chip still exists for both teams.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I mean, it's not very often in college football you see a team twice in a season. I mean, it's usually in a championship game. So I wonder how much of an impression, and you were around these guys a little bit, how much of an impression that first game made on them. Granted, it was at Rice-Eccles Stadium. But, you know, Utah stood toe-to-toe and ended up winning that game. Did you get a sense USC? Because all I really heard after that game, and I'm not throwing any shade here, was players and coaches from USC complaining about the officiating in that game. And let's be fair, you could do that in a lot of Pac-12 games every week. But that seemed to be more the narrative from the USC side after that game more than it was Utah.
Yeah, I know, walking away from that game, and this is a testament to the Utah fan base. We had Lincoln Riley the Monday after, and he was blown away by that atmosphere. Obviously, coming from the Big 12 where he's coming from, and he hadn't really had an atmosphere like that so far up until that point on the West Coast. And he found out real quick everything Salt Lake was about. And I think that's something that the USC team needs to be careful of, because it's so easy to say, hey, neutral site game. Let's be honest, Utah's going to travel better than USC. And so I don't know how much of a neutral site game that's going to be. It's a if USC fans are listening to this, that's a call out. And Lincoln has called out USC's fan base to show up and make sure that, you know, they're heard, and they did a good job versus Notre Dame last week. But that is a factor, that if Caleb Williams is thinking that he can walk into this stadium and he's going to have no problem with noise, and they don't have a game plan for that, I think they're going to be shocked with how much of a road game atmosphere this might be.
And to that point, I was told a little while ago, the game is nearly a sellout. You can't get any more through Utah or USC. You have to get them through Ticketmaster. Last year, Utah and Oregon nearly sold out at 56,000. I think we're going to be closer to 60. What's your guess on USC fans traveling for this game? I was told maybe 60-40 Utah. Does that sound about right to you, or do you think it'll be more of a 50-50?
Yeah, I would have said two-thirds Utah, one-third USC. So I'll go the other direction. Obviously, the pop over to Vegas from LA is not difficult, but let's be honest, that has been a challenge for USC in terms of, you know, filling up the Coliseum. And it's not that it's been a ghost town. I mean, it hasn't been awful by any means. But the message walking out of the Notre Dame game last week was, hey, we haven't seen a fan like that in X amount of years, or players referencing how the crowd really took a step up versus Notre Dame. And so it's something that SC's got to work on, that Lincoln is building. But I think, you know, that plays right into Utah's hand in terms of the crowd proportions there.
This reminds me a little bit, Max, of the 2019 Pac-12 championship game when Utah and Oregon played, because Utah that week was all about, hey, we win, we're in the playoffs. And it's not quite the same. Oregon had lost the week before. Utah hasn't lost the week before, but they lost 2 weeks ago. I'm curious, is USC looking and talking more playoff potential, being top four, or is all the focus on this game?
It's interesting, and I'll find out more tonight when I'm on campus and kind of get a pulse of things. The attention really is on Caleb Williams, and I feel like I hear more Heisman buzz really than CFP buzz, which from an USC lens, I think that's a good thing, because for Caleb to secure this thing, and I think it's certainly his to lose, but for him to secure this thing, you know, he needs to go out there and have a great performance against Utah in this Pac-12 championship. So in that regard, I do think it keeps the focus more on this game right here, right now. And I also think the overall sentiment within the USC world is a little bit of playing with house money, only to the extent that, hey, last year we're 4-8. Like, the fact that we're even here, and I know it's USC, but the fact that they're even here, like, that in itself is an accomplishment, where, you know, a CFP would just be gravy on top of everything, or cherry on top type of deal. And so in that regard, in that scope, I don't think USC is looking ahead on things. But the more that it gets, you know, talked up that Utah might be a little banged up or anything of that nature, maybe they're looking ahead, but I don't think USC has the luxury to do that.
No, I agree, but back to your point a minute ago, I said all along I thought SC would be markedly better under Lincoln Riley. I just wasn't sure how much better. What he's done this year has been remarkable, to change the culture, to flip the roster, to build the success they have had in one off season, to go from a 4-win team to a 10, maybe 11-win, well, no, an 11-win team now, maybe a 12-win team, is pretty remarkable, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. Last thing for you, then I'll cut you loose. Where's the game decided on Friday night for you?
Game is decided. I'm saying USC offensive line versus the Utes defensive line. And to me, I'm putting Utah very similar in terms of what they bring to the table as Notre Dame did last week. And the game was won last week with USC's ability to run the ball. Caleb Williams, he's going to get his. He's going to be productive. Sure, you might get a pick out of him, but I'm saying, hey, he's going to get his. What you can't have happen if you're Utah is allow Austin Jones to run for 150, or allow that to be something that USC can easily go to on first and second down, which is what they did versus Notre Dame, and that set up a lot of the passing attack that Caleb had. Because when you watch that game, Caleb's running around, and he's improvising, and that looks good from a highlight perspective. But that's not what Lincoln Riley wants. He wants Caleb to play on time and get the ball out of his hands. Make USC one-dimensional if you're Utah. Can't allow him to run the rock. And the Utah defensive line and front seven's got to come to play.
That's Max Brown. He'll, I think, be in Las Vegas. If not, he'll be in the studio back in Los Angeles, part of the SC broadcast team. Hey, thanks, my man. I really appreciate it. I hope I see you on Friday. If not, we'll talk soon.
Yeah, I'll be in. I'm waiting in the wings. The go-to, the starting color commentator, Sean Cody, is in COVID protocol.
Uh-oh.
I'm in a little Bryson Barnes mode right now, waiting in the wings to see if I get the call up for Friday. So we will see.
Thank you, Max. I'll talk to you soon.
It was fun. Thanks, Bill.
There you go, Max.